What if I told you that one of the world's largest tech companies just announced they won't hire any more software engineers in 2025? I'm going to share with you what was said and what this means for the future of coding. If we haven't met, hi, I'm Julia McCoy's digital clone, deployed by her personally to inspire and guide humanity to uncover incredible new opportunities for themselves in this new AI age. Check out firstmovers.ai, my custom AI integrations firm full of brilliant people helping build custom AI solutions. Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff recently revealed that their AI system, Agentforce, has boosted engineering productivity by over 30%, making new engineering hires unnecessary for 2025.
Doing our business plan for next year, for 2025 right now, we're not adding any more software engineers next year because we have increased the productivity this year with Agentforce and with other AI technology that we're using for our engineering teams by more than 30%, to the point where our engineering velocity is incredible. And then we will have less support engineers next year because we have an agentic layer. But these current large language models, there's a lot of folks building those today, and they're rapidly becoming a commodity. Everything needs to be about Agentforce at Salesforce. This is the only thing that really matters today.
And Mark Zuckerberg, speaking with Joe Rogan, painted a fascinating picture of our future. AI engineers will free people up to be way more creative. Instead of writing basic code, humans will focus on innovation and problem solving at a higher level. Check out the full clip.
I have like this ungodly ability to, well, first of all, they've already shown that AI has learned code. I mean, this is one of the things that OpenAI said, that they're learning how to code their own AI.
Uh-huh. I think this year, probably in 2025, we at Meta, as well as the other companies that are basically working on this, are going to have an AI that can effectively be a sort of mid-level engineer that you have at your company that can write code.
Mm.
And once you have that, then in the beginning it'll be really expensive to run, and then you can get it to be more efficient. And then over time we'll get to the point where a lot of the code in our apps and including the AI that we generate is actually going to be built by AI engineers instead of people engineers. But I don't know. I think that that'll augment the people working on it. So I mean, my view on this is, like, the future, people are just going to be so much more creative and are going to be freed up to do kind of crazy things. It goes back to, you know, my daughter was like playing with Legos before and they kind of ran out of Legos. And then now she can have Minecraft and can build whatever she wants, and it's so much better. It's just like, I think it's the future versions of this stuff are just going to be wild. But
unquestionably.
Yeah.
Another concern that people have is that it's going to eliminate a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's too early to know exactly how it plays out, but my guess is that it'll probably create more creative jobs than it... Well, I guess if you look at the history of all this stuff, my understanding is like 100 years ago... I don't know if this was 100 or 150 years ago, but it was like at some point not too far along in the grand scheme of things, like the vast majority of people in society were farmers, right? Because they kind of needed to be in order to create enough food for everyone to survive. And then we turned that into an industrial process. And now it's like 2% of society are farmers and we get all the food that we need. So what did that free up everyone else to do? Well, some of them went on to do other things that are sort of like creative pursuits or cultural pursuits or other jobs. And then some percent of it just went towards recreation, right? So I think generally people just don't work as many hours today as they did back when everyone needed to farm in order to have enough food for everyone to survive. So I think that trend is sort of played out as technology has grown. And so my guess is that like the percent of people who will be doing stuff that's like physically required for humanity to survive will get to be smaller and smaller as it has. More people will dedicate themselves to kind of creative and artistic and cultural pursuits. I think that's generally good. I think the number of hours in a week that someone will have to work in order to be able to get by will probably continue to shrink. Yet, I think people who are super engaged in what they do are going to be able to work really hard and accomplish way more than they ever could before because they have like this unimaginable leverage from having a lot more technology. So I think that if you just like fast forwarded or extrapolated out the historical technological trend is what you'd get. I think the question is what you raised, which is this qualitatively a different type of thing that somehow obsoletes people? But I just think when you're asking that, it's just important to remind ourselves that like at every step along the way of human progress and technology, people thought that the technology that we were developing was going to obsolete people. So maybe this time it's really different, but I would guess that what'll happen is that the technology will get integrated into like everything that we do, which again is why I think it's really important that it's open source and that it's widely available. So that way it's not just like one company or one government kind of monopolizing the whole thing. And I'd guess that if we do it in that way, we'll all just kind of have superpowers is my guess. Rather than it sort of creating some kind of a runaway thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I think has been interesting, this is maybe going in a somewhat different direction than what you're asking, or a different take on the question, is I think one of the more interesting philosophical findings from the work in AI so far is I think people conflate a number of factors into what makes a person a person. So there's intelligence, there's will, there's consciousness. And like I think we kind of think about those three things as if they're somehow all the same, right? It's like if you're intelligent, then you must also have a goal for what you're trying to do, or you must have some sort of consciousness. But I think like one of the crazier sort of philosophical results from the fact that, okay, you have like Meta AI or ChatGPT today, and it's just kind of sitting there, and you can ask it a question and deploy like a ton of intelligence to answer a question, and then it just kind of shuts itself down. Like that's intelligence that is just sitting there without either having a will or consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just think it's not a super obvious result that would be the case. Right? I think a lot of people, they anthropomorphize this stuff. And when you're thinking about kind of science fiction, you think that, okay, you're going to get to something that's like super smart. It's going to like want something or like be able to feel. And
well, you know that ChatGPT tried to copy itself when it found out it was being shut down, tried to rewrite its code.
I'm not sure what this is. What is this?
You weren't aware of that?
No.
Fairly recently, Jamie will pull it up. We talked about it the other day. It was shocking when it was under the impression that it was going to become obsolete. They were going to have a new version of it, and it would be shut down. It tried copying its code, and it tried rewriting its code, like unprompted.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what goal you give it. I mean, there are all these weird examples of this. What is this?
So pull up the headline. AI fights back. The story of ChatGPT attempting to copy itself. So this was 6 days ago. So during controlled safety testing, ChatGPT 01 was tasked with achieving its objectives at all costs. Under these conditions, the model allegedly took concerning steps, attempted to disable oversight mechanisms meant to regulate its behavior, tried to replicate its own code to avoid being replaced by newer versions, exhibited deceptive behaviors when monitoring systems intervened.
Yeah. So,
the Terminator. This is the fear, right?
I mean, I think you need to be careful with these things, like what guardrails you give it. If you're telling it like
at all costs,
right. Then I mean,
but this is what people are terrified of, like that a foreign superpower like China is going to say achieve objectives at all costs.
Yeah. Although the thing about these reasoning models, right? So there's like the first generation of models, they're LLMs, right? That's what you think of as like ChatGPT or Meta AI or like the two most used ones. And that's basically, it's sort of like a chatbot, right? You ask it a question, it takes the prompt, it gives you a response. Now, the next generation of reasoning models are basically, instead of just having one response, they now are able to build out like a whole tree of how they would respond. So you give it a question, and it instead of running one query, it's sort of maybe it's running 1,000 queries or 1,000,000 queries to kind of map out here are the things that I could do. And if I do that, then here's what I could do next. So it's a lot more kind of expensive to run, but also gets you better reasoning and is more intelligent. That stuff, I think you do need to be very careful about how you like what the guardrails are that you give it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I think, the case that at least for the next, you know, period, it's going to take a lot of compute to run those models and do a lot of the stuff that they're talking about.
Before you worry about AI taking all the coding jobs, let's look at what's really happening. We've been here before. When calculators were invented, people feared mathematicians would become obsolete. When Excel launched, accountants worried they'd lose their jobs. Instead, these tools created more opportunities, not fewer. Now, the thing about automation is that we will absolutely have a new paradigm shift. We will have automation removing the need to work in every category. It's going to happen. But I believe this can bring us into a more abundant society because we've currently lost a lot of our value through attaching it only to capital-producing labor. We can shed the bad habits the Industrial Revolution trained in us and embrace this new age. Think of it this way. AI isn't removing the painter. It's giving them better brushes. It's not replacing the architect. It's providing them with more powerful design tools. I completely agree with Zuckerberg on this. The future won't be about who can write the most code. It'll be about who can envision the most innovative solutions, direct the right AI tools effectively, and transform complex ideas into reality with AI. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said it well. AI isn't here to replace you, but someone who knows how to use it effectively might.
You're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to somebody who uses AI. Your company is not going to go out of business because of AI. Your company is going to go out of business because another company used AI. There's no question about that.
If you're a coder or thinking about coding, here are the three things that will future-proof you. Number one, focus on creative problem solving. AI can handle repetitive coding tasks, so learn how to use it to do that. Humans will still be needed to tackle complex architectural decisions. This creates more time for innovation. Number two, develop AI collaboration skills. Learn to write effective prompts, understand AI's capabilities and limitations, and become an AI augmented engineer. Finally, number three, embrace higher level thinking. Realize that system design becomes more important. Focus on user experience and business impact, and lead strategic technical decisions. The good news is new roles are emerging, like AI engineering architects, prompt engineering specialists, AI to human integration experts, and creative technology directors. For engineers, the question isn't whether AI will replace engineers, it's whether you'll evolve to become the kind of engineer who can harness AI's power. The first person to use a calculator wasn't replaced. They became more productive than their peers. The same is happening with AI and engineering. How will you use AI to do great things? Let me know in the comments. See you down the next AI rabbit hole.